And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will discuss one of these two topics. My next guest is a fixture in American politics. He received the Distinguished Service Medal, served as Deputy Special Assistant to President Nixon, and was appointed to the Reagan Transition Team. With the turmoil across the Arab world, we'll discuss his latest book, Obama's Globe, A President's Abandonment of U.S. Allies Around the World. Bruce Hershenson is a Pepperdine Senior Fellow and an author. He was the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate against Barbara Boxer in 1992. Bruce has been a fixture on Los Angeles television for 14 years, engaging in spirited but respectful debates with former Senator John Tunney on KABC on the entire range of political issues. Joining us from Pepperdine University. Hi, Bruce. How are you today?
Real good. And I appreciate it very much, Bill.
Well, thank you for being our guest. And your book couldn't be more timely in regards to what's happening in the world. But let's talk about the presidential election, because the 2012 presidential election was really all about economy and jobs. Not a real thought was given to foreign policy, that is, up until now. The unrest in Egypt, Libya, Yemen, Syria have all brought foreign policy to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And the response to the murder of U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens, it appears the U.S. response is going to be tepid at best. It's surprising to me, because even at the height of the Cold War with the Soviet Union, we never feared that a mob would overrun the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, take our ambassador out, and kill him. I mean, that's just the lowest common denominator of diplomatic respect and restraints.
Let me just mention one thing real quickly.
You bet.
It did happen in Afghanistan it was February the 14th of 1979, the murder of Ambassador Adolf Dubs, U.S. ambassador. And that was really by Soviet proxies that did it.
Well, it's so interesting that you bring it up, because I was going to say the last time that something like that happened was under President Jimmy Carter in the 1970s.
That is correct. It sure was.
So, but I want to get back to the bigger issue and obviously more current. In what ways does the violence across this Middle East exemplify misguided U.S. foreign policy over the last 4 years?
Well, I think just by the very sentence that you just said of what just happened in the Mideast. And I think it's a terrible mistake. It is one of those things that I cannot figure out, that it seems as though most Americans, as you said, are judging a presidential election by economics. I understand their reason for doing it. It affects them directly right now. But a president really cannot have final jurisdiction over that. It's why you see President Obama going to a joint session of the Congress pleading for his jobs bill in the prime time at night on television, because he can't do it. It's the Congress that can. Presidents do not have the final jurisdiction over most domestic affairs. They have the final jurisdiction, however, over foreign policy. When Bill Clinton wanted health care passed, what we used to call Hillary care, he couldn't get it done. But when he wanted to go into Bosnia, he did it. When he wanted to go into Kosovo, he did it. When he wanted to go into Haiti, he did it. President George W. Bush, he came in wanting to do Social Security reform. Couldn't get it. Congress wouldn't allow it. He wanted to have immigration reform. Couldn't get it. When he wanted to go into Afghanistan, he did it. When he wanted to go into Iraq, he did it. That is what a president does. That is the stuff of presidents. The rest, and I'm not minimizing it, a president can certainly influence. He can advocate a position, but he can't appropriate it. That's up to the Congress, and we have to realize that. If we have extreme interest in the in economics, I would pay particular attention to the person that I vote for a representative or senator, if that's coming up in the election, depending on where you live. If you care about foreign policy, remember that's what a president does. And you mentioned when you mentioned the Carter administration. Why did he lose that election? Was it because of the economy, or was it because of the Iranian hostage crisis? I believe mainly it was because of the Iranian hostage crisis. There has to be a crisis for the people to realize this is the president's stuff.
My guest is Bruce Hershenson, author of the book Obama's Globe, and I agree that we're heading into another crisis. The parallels between today and 1979 are sort of eerie when it comes right down to that.
They are.
Bruce, I want to come back to President Obama, if we can, for just a minute.
Sure.
When it comes to foreign policy, is President Obama naive, incompetent, or deliberate? And by deliberate, I mean referring back to his 2009 Cairo speech where he wanted to approach the Arab world. Which is he, naive, incompetent, or deliberate?
You know, I don't know, because I'm no psychoanalyst, and I want to say things that I am positive about, and I don't know why. I do know that he pays undue attention to getting along with and thinking that he can influence so many people who are Muslims by being sort of outreaching to Muslims. But the epitome to me was when the new NASA administrator, Bolton, was on Capitol Hill, and he was asked at a congressional hearing what the president asked him to do. And I'm talking about NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration. He said it was for kids. He wanted kids to realize the importance of space and technology. Wonderful, he said. Second, he wants it for the future of the country. Perfect. Third, he said, and foremost, he wants Muslims to realize how important it is to them and the marvelous things that they have done in terms of science and technology, and to feel comfortable about that. What the devil does that got to do with it? When President Kennedy talked about space, he didn't say because he wants Catholics to feel good about it. It was the idea of taking a leadership position in space exploration. And as President Kennedy said, we do not yet know what benefits await us. But, I mean, he was terrific, and he didn't give a side issue. And so when you ask about is he naive or what, I don't know what the devil it is.
Well, then my guest is Bruce Hershenson. So, Bruce, Machiavelli wrote, it's better to be feared than to be liked. Is the United States trying too hard to be liked?
Yes. I mean, I could say that with absolute certainty. The answer is yes. And when we do that, we automatically reduce the respect for us. We often think that what we call soft diplomacy and all of that is going to win friends and influence people. It does neither. Most of the world looks at it as weakness, and that we are being weak. I believe right now, after three and three quarter years of the Obama administration, most people not only don't fear us, and I'm talking about enemies, I don't want friends to fear us, but enemies, they don't fear us, but friends no longer feel that we will have their support, because we've abandoned so many good friends around the world. Look at a guy like right now, King Abdullah of Jordan. He's been a friend for God knows as long as he's been in office, and even his dad has been in office. And so he has just underwent some demonstrations against him. Could he possibly feel, well, God, I'm not worried, the U.S. will support me? Not a chance. He used to feel that way. He can't feel that way. Not after what we did to Mubarak of Egypt, or Ben Ali of Tunisia, or Saleh of Yemen. He can't feel that way.
Well, a lot of people, Bruce, will say, but wait a minute, some of these guys that you're talking about, Mubarak, for example, ruled with an iron fist. Gaddafi in Libya, we all know about his history and so forth. These are not nice guys. What would you say to people who say, hey, we shouldn't be allies, we shouldn't be friends, we shouldn't be working with people who are not nice guys?
We are in a war. Maybe some of those people remember or at least read about World War II. The big three allies were FDR, President Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and Joseph Stalin. Stalin was one of the most evil men in the history of the world. Why was he an ally? Because at that time, the greater danger was Hitler. It's that simple. You do not try to dump someone who is an ally of yours for a totally unknown. Mubarak maintained the peace in the Mideast. He maintained it for 30 years. And against a lot of odds, a lot of his Arab neighbors were mad as can be at Mubarak for maintaining that peace. But indeed, he maintained the peace. And by doing that, he was very helpful to us in our fight against Islamist radicalism.
That he was. My guest is Bruce Hershenson, author of the book Obama's Globe, A President's Abandonment of U.S. Allies Around the World. So, Bruce, let me ask you, in regards to foreign policy and Hillary Clinton, is Hillary Clinton running our foreign policy or merely following presidential orders?
Secretary of State's follow presidential orders. Generally, this is true, and I know this is going to sound terribly partisan, but it's absolutely true. If it's a Republican president, the State Department has an agenda of its own, and regardless of what the president may want. And very often, you'll find a Secretary of State, instead of advocating the president's position to the department, to the bureaucracy, it ends up that a Secretary of State tries to influence the president with the positions of the bureaucracy. That very often happens with a Republican president, almost in my lifetime, just about every Republican president. If there are those occasions, and I know of two of them, where the State Department and the president is in sync, where they agree with each other, it was Carter and it is Obama. And a Secretary of State should always advocate a president's position. And if you don't like it, you resign. And that's one great thing about the United States. You don't like what the president's doing and you work for the president, you can always say, sorry, Mr. President, I can no longer agree with your positions. I cannot advocate them. I can't put them into effect anymore. I want you to get someone who will be loyal to your positions, and I have to resign. We can do that. And that's if Hillary Clinton doesn't agree with the president, she can do it.
All right. My guest is Bruce Hershenson. Bruce, I want to change it up a little bit, if I can, and move from the Middle East and the Arab turmoil to new violence that cropped up this week in China against our ambassador over there. Not nearly as bad as what happened in the Middle East. Nobody was dragged out and killed.
Yes.
But the Chinese did overrun the car. And Leon Panetta, by the way, is in China negotiating some military deals this past week. So I guess if the U.S. doesn't respond to an ambassador's death in one country, other countries believe that they can take liberties, too.
I agree.
Let's talk about this China-Japanese situation that's going on in the South China Sea right now. They're quarreling over a bunch of little islands. The Economist this week came out with a headline, you know, are they really going to fight over these little islands out in the South China Sea? But the reality is that some of this was set in motion by our own provocation of China, who happens to be our biggest creditor at the moment, and the fact that the United States in the peace treaty with Japan has limited Japan's ability to defend itself. We are the ones that are in there defending it. So if China and Japan actually escalate this, what does that do to the United States and our relationship with those other two countries?
First, very good summary of it, Bill. Brief and to the point and accurate. We have got to, I believe we have got to support Japan in this. We've had a mutual defense treaty with Japan for a long, long time. They have maintained their end of it. We better maintain ours. And in terms of who really owns the things legally, Japan does. Japan does. They have a after World War II, they surrendered, but they didn't surrender those islands. They didn't surrender Taiwan. They didn't surrender any place to a particular party. They didn't surrender them to China. You know who they surrendered them to? The United States. And in 1972, we gave what was called the Okinawa Accord of giving back that territory to Japan. And so, therefore, it is Japan's, in a legal sense as well as a moral sense. In a moral sense, if there is a dispute, we can't let economics rule the day. We got to let morality rule the day. We have to stay loyal to those who are loyal to us, and there are darned few left that we have been loyal to. Darned few.
Well, that is true, Bruce. But here's the conundrum. I mean, China is one of our biggest trading partners. They are, as I said, our biggest creditor. The money that we give them, they turn right around and they build aircraft carriers, the same aircraft carriers that are now threatening the Japanese in the South China Sea.
But then we're a slave to the Chinese, and we're going to go along with China. But I don't really mean the Chinese, not the Chinese people. I'm talking about the government, the People's Republic of China. We're a slave to them then. And by God, we got to stop that. And we can't, not stop it, we should never have started it. You don't become a slave to anyone, period, and certainly not to one that is against your own real friends that supported us throughout the Vietnam War. You don't do that. You just don't do that. And even if it hurts deeply economically, I'll take it. I would take it as long as I could look myself in the mirror as a nation and say I've done what is morally right.
My guest is Bruce Hershenson, author of the book Obama's Globe, A President's Abandonment of U.S. Allies Around the World. Bruce, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, Obama's Globe?
I intentionally, and I'll be very candid about it, wanted to get it out before the election, and it is out before the election, because I want people to understand what it is that the president has done to our allies, to the United Kingdom, to the Czech Republic, to Poland, to Honduras, to Israel, and more. What it is and what he's doing. I want them to know this, and I made the book purposely. Not one bit of psychoanalysis, not one bit of something that can't be backed, not one sentence that you can't look up. I'll put in brackets the date, so if they want to look it up somewhere, they can find it quite easily. But these things are true, most of it said by him. And one statement, although it just takes one paragraph, and perhaps the main statement, is what he said to President Medvedev of Russia. He said that after the election, I can be more flexible. Good Lord, why didn't he say that to the President and Prime Minister of Poland and the Czech Republic? Why doesn't he say that to the American voter? He can be more flexible after the election, he tells the President of Russia? Wow, that is something. Boy, and I'm sure that stuck with Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel. He can be more flexible. He isn't going to be more flexible with Israel. He's going to be more flexible with Israel's enemies.
Yeah, so true. My guest has been Bruce Hershenson. Bruce, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill, very much.
Take care.